Welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
Have you ever seen the 2014, I think it came out in 2014, movie called Unbroken? It tells the true story of Louis Zamperini, an Olympic runner who was captured during World War II by the Japanese, and he was tortured and malnourished in a prisoner of war camp for 2.5 years. Can you imagine what he went through those 2.5 years? Zamperini, miraculously though, he survived and found liberation when the Japanese surrendered at September of 1945. The movie portrays this scene where they find liberation. They find out that they are going to be able to go home to their loved ones in a really amazing scene that just gives you goosebumps watching it. If you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. As he and his fellow prisoners are all lined up in the shores of the bay, moments before being executed in a place where the Japanese wouldn't have to clean up their bodies, they're in the bay. Right before they start pulling the trigger on all those prisoners, they hear the sound of an airplane coming, and it flies right over their heads really low. It was a United States airplane, showing that Japan had been beat and the war was over. Just before that airplane flying over, the prisoners barely had the strength to walk themselves into the waters. Certainly couldn't lift up their hands. Their bodies had been beaten so bad and hurt and malnourished. But seeing that airplane fly over them, though, and knowing what that meant for them, they now began to jump. They had the energy, and they mustered it up to begin cheering and hugging and laughing and splashing the water around. They were feeling joy, and they hadn't for years. Up to that point, there were once dead men walking, now promised life for tomorrow. It's a scene really of just utter joy and celebration that death had been avoided and hope for life is given. Many of you, if you don't know much about Christianity and you're just here and maybe a family member drug you here, I just want to say thank you and I'm so glad that you are here. But you may have a whole lot of questions. Just wondering what in the world the big deal is. What are these people celebrating and cheering all the time for? Why are they gathering? And just wait till you realize that we gather, and I already told you, we gather twice on Sunday and once on Wednesday. You're like, what is the big deal here? What are you guys doing? Giving so much of your week to this. And maybe you'd think it's as if these people think that they've escaped death or something and that they just found out that they are able to keep on living. They're cheering like these prisoner of war people in World War II. And so, yeah, actually, that's exactly what it is. We have just found out that we have escaped death and we have hope for life tomorrow. And so, yeah, we're going to be splashing and cheering and celebrating because there's so much reason for it because this book tells us so. This book is not just a book. It is the book that is the written, believe it or not, the written revelation, words of the divine. And this book tells us that. It tells us of that hope that we can cheer for. And it tells us a lot. Maybe you're looking for the key to a successful marriage. Let me tell you, this book, it has it. The purpose of life, if you're wondering it, it's in there. How to raise kids? It's in there. How to make your life count and actually matter? It's in there. And above all, what's in there is how to find joy out of life and life even after death. It's in there. I want to look with you today in a place in the Bible called 1 Peter. It's written by a man, Peter. And Peter actually happened to be real tight with Jesus. He was the BFF, if you will, with Jesus Christ. He walked with him for the last few years of Jesus' life. He hung out with them every single day. They lived together. They traveled together. He was there when Jesus was executed. He even walked inside the empty tomb after Jesus had been raised, and he was looking around. And then he hung out with Jesus after Jesus was raised. He had a meal with Jesus, sat down and kicked his feet up and ate some food with resurrected Jesus. So Peter knows all about this thing that we're celebrating about today. And he wrote a letter, two letters actually, about the importance of new life in Christ. I want to read it, just three verses today. Four verses, I guess. Verses 3 through 6 of chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. This is what the Word of God says. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. It's up on the screens. You can follow along there. But the Word of God says this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and fading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials." That's the Word of God. I want you to notice here at the very beginning, right, just to kick off our time looking at this passage, did you notice it's bookended with celebration, with joy? The very beginning and the very end of what we just read is about joy and thanksgiving. If you look at the very beginning of verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." What he's saying is worship Him, praise Him, celebrate Him, blessings to God. It's a celebration phrase. Why? Why, Peter? Why? Why celebrate? Why bless God? Well, what he's about to say. And then if you go to the very end of what we just read, it says, "In this you rejoice." Why rejoice? Well, what he had just said. Do you see? It's bookended, starting and ending with celebration and rejoicing, giving blessings to God and praising Him. Why? Because the sandwich in the middle, that middle part, gives you reasons to celebrate and rejoice. So can I just ask a question just for everyone to consider and mull over in your head? Is your life filled with these things today? Seriously, think about it. When you leave this room, you go back, you start getting lunch ready, Monday rolls over, your day starts, your week goes, the appointments that you have, the scheduled things that you have on your calendar. Can I ask you, in the midst of all that, getting yourself out of the head of church time and just getting into the real world, is your life filled with that? Rejoicing, celebration. I'm not saying, hear me, I'm not saying, is your life free from troubles and difficulties? It's a whole different question. Quite frankly, you can do what Peter's talking about and have those issues and troubles and difficulties. Even he finishes verse 6, if you notice that. "In this you rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials." So he's saying, you can celebrate, you can rejoice, you can bless God, even in the midst of those difficulties. And so, to translate that into your life, you could have bills unpaid, you could have lost your job, you could have even a child died, spouse sick, constant back pain, a nation in disarray, you could have stress unbelievably and anxiety like no one knows, you could be walking through a divorce and you're trying to keep it quiet. And hear me, you can still do what Peter's talking about here. You can be rejoicing and celebrating God. The joy that Peter's talking about here, listen to me, it's not dampened by that stuff. It's not swayed. It's not put out or extinguished by pain and hardship. So I'll ask it again. Seriously consider this question. Does your life have that kind of joy? The kind that is impossible to put out. The kind that you can't extinguish no matter how hard you try. Do you have that kind of celebration in your heart? By the end of this time today, can I just tell you, I pray that you do. Oh, I pray that you do. If you don't, right now. So how? How in the world? Because that's probably what you're wondering. If you don't have that, you're like, yeah, that's a fairy tale, Isaac. To have joy in the midst of all that, a child that's died, a divorce that's happening and unfolding, the bills unpaid, my life is completely a wreck, and you're saying that you can have that? Yeah, yeah, and the sandwich part between verses 3 and 6 gives you four reasons. Gives you four reasons, or four things that can lead to that kind of joy. So let's consider them. Four things that give us unquenchable joy in the middle section. First, it starts with verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father. Oh, I do want to give you the first point. The first thing is, thank you. The first thing is that mercy God shows us. That's the first thing that gives us unquenchable joy, the mercy that God shows us. Let's look at verse 3 now. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've already read that. According to, this is why, according to his great mercy. The thought of God, just think about this for a second. The thought of God as good, as loving, as kind, gentle, gracious, I think in society today is a joke. Isaac, you said that from the pulpit. Yeah, I think, honestly, if you look out in society, there's a lot of people that think that a good God is a joke. They see broken relationships, job loss, financial struggles, war that's ensuing, death everywhere, COVID that seems to be never ending, killings. A lot of people would laugh at the thought of me talking about a merciful God when he's capable of stopping any and all of that. They'd laugh at the thought that we would talk about the great mercy of God when we would look around at the life around us. But let me tell you, the fact that humanity isn't extinguished by the hand of God for the evil that we do, that's proof of the mercy of God. The fact that we aren't extinct, he's a merciful God. He's a merciful God. There's this common mercy that goes to all mankind, that the fact that we're still breathing, that he would give us tomorrow, given what we would do to spit in his face as our creator every single day, that's mercy that we are breathing, that we are living, that we face and we see beautiful weather and we see an amazing sunset and good things happen and they come and they go. This is common mercy, isn't it? It's mercy. But there's also then mercy that goes beyond everybody, and it's a special kind of mercy. The people that would love God, they get mercy for eternity. Their wrongs are pardoned. They face no judgment forever. There's a common mercy for all people, no matter how horrific of a life you live. He allows you still to breathe, but yet there's a special mercy for those who give their lives to Jesus, a mercy unlike any other. God really is a merciful God, and that gives us reason to celebrate and praise him. The second thing, not only is the mercy that God shows us, but the life that God brings us. Let me read the verse again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has done what? He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I want to focus there on that last part of verse 3. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So he not only gives us mercy, and that's reason enough to celebrate and rejoice, but he also gives us life. Two things to notice here. Firstly, Jesus died and rose again. This is a historical fact. And maybe you're opposed to God today, and you just want to find any reason to not believe in him. And you might think, okay, well, it's impossible that he died and rose again, and your hang-up is the resurrection. Can I just tell you that not only Christians in the first century affirmed it, but non-Christian sources affirmed it. Paul even says in 1 Corinthians that over 500 people testified of Jesus Christ walking around, the man that they saw crucified last week. And Paul says a lot of them are still alive. And so then people are writing about it in the first century, even non-Christians. So Jesus died and rose again, historical fact. And so through those things, through the death, through the resurrection, he causes us to be born again. Do you see that? He causes us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection and death of Jesus. Okay, now, so if you're not familiar with theology, churchy talk, can I try to maybe jump inside your brain and think? You might be wondering a few questions. Firstly, how in the world could a man 2,000 years ago dying have anything to do with my life? And even more so, being raised from the dead, as cool as that is, how does that have anything to do with me? How does that affect my 9-to-5 day-to-day life? How does that do anything for my soul? He died and he raised again, but how am I in the equation? Well, his death, when he died on that cross, functioned as a substitute for the sins, for the evil things that we do, even though we hadn't done them yet. Let me give you an analogy. Think about going through the drive-thru and getting some food, and you want to pay for the person's food behind you, pay for the ticket. Whatever they racked up, whatever charges they put on their bill, you say, I'm covering it all. And not only theirs, but literally all the other ones. No one else could make that kind of payment, but he pays the price for what we haven't even done yet so that we don't have to receive that bill. Okay? So he died, and that affects, if you put your faith in Christ, that affects your life. And then his resurrection, that's like the airplane flying over proving that he did it, that it worked, and that there's victory, and it was successful, and the war's over, and death has been defeated. It worked. It's the airplane flying over, and you can just start cheering. He really did. He paid it. And so if you're wondering that, how in the world do I have a living hope through the resurrection and the death of Jesus? How does that even, that's how. Second question, maybe, I don't know, that you might be thinking. So does that mean everybody? Including me, no matter what I do, if I love Jesus, if I don't love Jesus, if I want to give my life to him, if I don't want to give him, does that mean that he paid, like I'm in the assembly line of cars and he paid and I'm good and I don't have to get to go to heaven? No. Think about it logically. To be born again, you first have to die to your old self. You see that? You can't be born again if you're still living the first time. So he says, through his death, through his resurrection, we receive life to be born again. And so that means that we die to self so that we can have the new life which he's offering us. So the question that I have for you, have you died to yourself? to your desires, to your passions, to your wants, and say, you know what? What Jesus wants for me is more important. I died to my old self. Let me be alive again in Him and what He wants. You have to die to you in order to have new life in Him. And when you do, you can celebrate of the mercy that God has or gives you in the life that He brings you. Thirdly, celebrate because the inheritance God keeps for us. Let me read verses, the last part of 3 into 4. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To what? An inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. Sarah and I recently been writing up our will. And you know, first off, that's tedious and really expensive, and I didn't appreciate that. But beyond that, it's kind of depressing because you have to kind of put in a big pot and really just look at the numbers or the lack thereof that you have. And honestly, I don't probably feel as bad for me as I do for Judah. If you don't know Judah, Judah's my one-year-old son, and poor kid, he has to live with me for 18 years. Not a day beyond that. But he has to live with me for 18 years and still put up with me as long as I'm kicking. And that's bad enough. But then all just to find out he's not going to be compensated for all that pain. I just feel bad for the guy. Peter's point here is it's the exact opposite when you're a child of God. He says you have an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. He says that a Christian's inheritance is amazing, and it's not going anywhere. You see, it's this amazing concept. Think about this, that we are, in Christ, co-heirs to the inheritance of God with Jesus Christ. With the Son of God, we are co-heirs with Him. We're put in the will. Look at Romans 8, verse 17. The Spirit Himself bears with witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. We're heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. So, no, that does not mean that God is going to die, and when He does, we get everything. That's where the analogy falls apart. But He does give us our inheritance while He is living all the time. He gives us, with Christ, an inheritance that is undefiled. You know what that means? It means a lot. It means Joel Osteen's wrong. Joel Osteen's completely wrong about his whole book, bestseller, Your Best Life Now. Sorry, Joel, you're wrong, man. My best life is not right now. Christians are not meant to expect this life to be the best life. No, non-Christians, if you aren't in Christ, you are experiencing your best life now. And that's scary to think about. And it's sad to think about. That's why get all the money you can. Do the partying, friends, sex, indulge. It makes sense because best life now. It's all you got. It's really sad. You can find this whole this is as good as it gets worldview on the radio. Let me read a lyric from a song I was listening to this week. It's from Blake Shelton called Come Back as a Country Boy. Have you ever heard of it? When I die, I want to come back as a country boy. No, there ain't no better life if you ask me. If my neck don't come out red, then Lord, just keep me dead. Because a country boy is all that I know how to be. And you're going to be like, this guy's hating on country music. Look, I only know to use it because I was jamming out to country music this week, okay? So get beyond that. Get past it. But how sad is Blake Shelton's worldview? Don't have his worldview. Don't have Joel Osteen's worldview that this is the best life you can have right now. And if you're not going to have a redneck and, well, just keep me dead. Man, you have no idea what the inheritance you're missing out on is like after death. For Christians, all of that, man, that's cheap in comparison. It's chump change because it withers away. It's nothing. We rejoice because we have far greater life waiting for us than anything that this life has to offer us. And so we can celebrate no matter what's happening in our lives because of the mercy God shows us, the life God brings us, the inheritance God keeps for us, and lastly, the faith that God preserves in us. Let me read verses 4 and 5. It's to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. Who? That's you. Who, by God's power, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You ever played Capture the Flag? Whenever I've played it, I think there's probably a lot of ways to play it, but when I played it, you have to go across, there's like this middle line, you have to go across the middle line into enemy territory and grab the flag and run back to your side of the middle line. And if you get to your side, you've won. Okay, roughly what you have in mind with. But the problem is if you get tagged any point on enemy territory, you have to go put the flag back. Maybe go to jail, I don't know how you play that part. But so you don't get tagged. In enemy's lines, you can't be tagged. And so what's a common strategy? Well, you have people that are bodyguards. They go and sacrifice themselves, willing to get tagged so that you don't get tagged carrying that precious cargo. You know what I'm talking about? Whole group of guys huddled around one guy, and they're going like a posse, just, you know, and grab the flag, go, 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 and you move back and get all them tagged. That's fine. Who cares? Because we're going to win if we get to the other side. You see, our faith, now let me transition that somehow into a sermon point. Our faith is the precious cargo which we're carrying. It's what brings us victory. It's the faith that you have or don't have. It's the faith that allows us to be celebrating at the end of day. It's the precious cargo. And thank God we don't have to guard it ourselves. God is the one who guards it for us. If it were up to me to guard my own faith, to keep my own faith, I'd have lost it a long time ago. Every single morning I would have woken up doubting God, not trusting in God, giving up. Honestly, I wouldn't give myself that much credit. I wouldn't have had faith in the first place if it wasn't for God. But this text says that we have an inheritance through faith which is guarded by God. Wow. It's guarded by God's power. He won't let go of it in you. Can't lose it. He sees to it that you receive an inheritance which he has for you. So what does having faith mean? Can I tell you, a lot of people misunderstand what this faith thing is all about. It is not at all, some intellectual understanding of a fact that God was real or that Jesus was a real man at one time and that he died and maybe resurrected. Faith isn't an intellectual believing of something because demons do that. Faith is more than that. It's believing everything he said about himself, including the part where he is to be your greatest treasure And it's having faith in all of that and then accepting that and believing that and living like that. Real faith, faith as the Bible describes it, changes your lifestyle. And so knowing that, can I ask you, do you have faith? See, faith is the key to the other three things that we can celebrate. Without faith, there is no mercy. There is no life. There is no inheritance. But with faith, you have mercy. You have mercy. And you have life abundantly. And you have an inheritance undefiled. So, let me just summarize here before we're done. Look at what God does for His people. Look at what God does for His people. And there's this progression, if you have noticed it. He withholds what we deserve. He withholds judgment. He gives us mercy. And instead of what we deserve, He gives us what we don't deserve. He gives us life. And then He says, hey, it gets even better, because what you have now, this life in Me, is not even the best yet. The best is still to come. I give you an inheritance. And it's all so good that I'm going to ensure that you're going to have it. And you will see that inheritance one day, so I will guard your faith. Wow. He doesn't give us judgment, He gives us mercy. Instead, He gives us life. And after the life, He says, you have an inheritance that is still to come, and I will make sure you get to it. That is what God does for His people. So how should we respond? There's only one way to respond. We bless God and we rejoice. We rejoice. And so that's what we're going to do. I want to invite the band to come back up, and we're going to sing one last song. I want to speak to the Christian in the room. First, if you have your faith in Jesus Christ, can I just encourage you? We're about to sing a song, man. It is so celebratory. It's called Living Hope. And it talks about this very reality that though there was a chasm between us and God because of the sin that we do, the bad things that we do, it has separated us. It's caused a chasm. But thanks be to God, because He has given us life to be born again into a living hope to look forward to. So Christian, rejoice. Rejoice because of this good news. The mercy He shows you, the life He gives you, the inheritance He keeps for you, and the faith He preserves in you. We have reason to celebrate. If you don't know Jesus and you've never made a decision to live for Him, can I just encourage you? Today's a perfect day for that. We all celebrate our birthdays. We celebrate our anniversaries. We have these days that we can look back on and say, man, that was the day, and we're going to celebrate that right now. I think there's probably no better date that's deserving of that than new life in Jesus Christ. Make Easter 2022 that day. If you've been just teetering, and I don't know, I'm just maybe next week, make Easter 2022 the day that you found new life in Christ. Make today the day that you find mercy. You don't have to carry your baggage. Stop carrying it. You don't have to feel the guilt. He can remove it. Let today be the day that you find mercy. And not only mercy, but life. Find life today. What you have now can't even compete to the life that He offers you. Find an inheritance. Let this life that you live now be one that only looks forward to one that is better and still yet to come. And would you find faith today? Only He can give it. Only He can keep it. It takes receiving Him and accepting and following and loving Him. So I just want to encourage you, if that's you today and you've never made that decision, but today you're like, I want to make that decision, come and pray with me or somebody else. There's going to be some people up in the front. Make that decision today. You can come down to the front, pray with them. That's why they're there. That's why they're there. Come find me after service if you're uncomfortable with that. We can talk about what that means. And your life will never be the same. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you for today. Thank you for your goodness, that you died on our behalf and you rose to new life so that we can have new life and an inheritance. God, I just pray for the individual that's teetering back and forth. Should I make today the day, Lord, would you just press it on their hearts? Would you pierce their hearts and say, yes, you need to. You need to. God, would you speak to them now? And will all of us in this room worship the one who gives us living hope? In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.